We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Golic and Wingo with you on a Thursday morning, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. A morning that has been basically a lot about what Drew Brees said in that Yahoo account, the reaction to it, and of course his subsequent apology just a few moments ago posted on his social media accounts.
Instagram.
Mm-hmm. So, obviously, now we begin the thing that we do is where we parse the apology. And there are going to be some certain things in that people, I'm sure, will take umbrage with, including that one line, which is a qualifier. You can say it any way you want, but it is a qualifier. I'm upset with the way my comments were perceived. Now, he went on to say, I take full responsibility and accountability. I own all that. But it's like saying, hey, no disrespect, but.
It was a real trip over the finish line moment. Yeah. Now, granted, starting off the race with a stock Google image of a black and a white hand exchanging dap was probably a little bit of overkill to begin this whole thing. But that being said, you look at a lot of the rest of it and pointing towards what you want to do going forward and all those things that are going to have to happen without an apology. Like, after an apology, you got to make good on it. Trust is gained in drops and lost in buckets. Like, work a lot to get a lot of that back, but that one might stick in a lot of craws.
So we have the comment by Brees yesterday, and we had the reaction by many out there, many angry people reacting to what Drew Brees said. So now he apologizes. So it will bring back the people that had the angry reaction and say, what do you think of the apology? One of those people that had an angry reaction at Drew Brees is our own Booger McFarland. And Booger joins us now in Golic and Wingo. And Booger, I guess to just start off very easily, you read and you saw the apology. What do you think?
Well, I'm glad Drew has changed course and Drew has felt the hurt and felt the sentiments of a lot of his teammates, a lot of the people in the city of New Orleans and people around the country in all sports, LeBron James included. My only question is this, is why did it take such a visceral reaction from everyone to get you to see it, number one? Number two, my whole point with Drew Brees was, Drew does a lot of great things for Louisiana, man. I'm from Louisiana, and for people that know how I appreciate what he's done down there, and he and his wife, they've done tremendous things. But it's kind of like what's going on in America, and it's kind of like what I said is the problem, is that there are a certain portion of the people in this country who think that I can throw money at things, and I can throw and I can do good deeds, and it's going to change some of the issues. Yes, money does change things, but ultimately what changes is what's in your heart and what you do and the insight that you can give by listening to others to help them change something. And so I would just ask Drew, why did it take the visceral reaction, number one, and why did it take 4 years? Let's not forget, guys, he said the same thing 4 years ago. Okay, and we all looked at him, and we all wanted to crucify Kaepernick, and there's a certain portion of people that still do today, but Kaepernick was telling us what was happening 4 years ago, and a lot of us didn't listen. Well, Drew said the same thing then. He doubled down and said it yesterday, and only when the reaction became visceral did Drew come back this morning and apologize. And I'm not trying to say the apology wasn't authentic. I'm like, man, it took 4 years and reaction across America to get you to say, you know what? I'm not necessarily changing my opinion about the kneeling and about police brutality, but what I am changing is I feel you guys, I hear you guys, and boy, am I sorry that you guys came after my ass like y'all did yesterday. Like, that's the way it comes across in my initial reaction today.
Okay, so Boog, if that's your initial reaction, and again, it's certainly understandable, what happens next if that's not going to continue to be your reaction? What do you need?
Well, Trey, I think what you need to see is you need to see it, not hear it. Okay, You need to see Drew Brees because he said, I'm standing with you, guy. I do not want these things. I do not want police brutality. I don't think Drew Brees is a racist by any stretch of the imagination. Drew is not a racist. This is not about the racism. This is about understanding the plight of the teammates that you sit there and you put your hand in and you say who that every Sunday. Malcolm Jenkins said it best, man. Listen, we are hurting. Can you at least show us that you are hurting with us, not just on this football field, because we will run through a wall for you. But when you go back and you go into Drew Brees' home, and Drew has a lovely family with his wife and kids, that you still feel that same hurt there, because you can't cut it on and off. And that's going to take some action. That's going to take some conversations with his teammates. And more than anything, that's going to just take the change inside of you. I don't think Drew Brees changed his feelings overnight. I think Drew Brees is sad that the country reacted the way it did. I think he's hurt because Drew, by all accounts, is one of the most likable people in America, not only just in football. So when Drew Brees, who likes to be liked, and we all do, got the reaction he got yesterday, I think Drew Brees couldn't sleep last night. I think Drew Brees had a long night, so he woke up this morning wherever he was, in New Orleans on the West Coast, and he was like, man, this is uncomfortable. Well, Drew, here's what I got to tell you. As a black man in America, there's been some uncomfortable feelings, man, for a long time. And so if you felt what it's like to be uncomfortable last night, imagine what it's felt like over the years being a black man and waking up seeing unarmed black men get killed. You talk about some uncomfortable stuff. Hey, man, we've been feeling that for a long time. So he felt last night, I'm pretty sure, what Malcolm Jenkins cried about yesterday, what a lot of black men have been crying about for a long time. So, Goldie, to your point, it's just going to take time, man. It's not going to happen in one night.
Talking to Booger McFarland with us here on Golic and Wingo, and Booger, I don't think you could be more spot on if you tried in this. And I'm curious, you mentioned you're from Louisiana, you were a Louisiana boy at heart through and through. That is a place, and especially New Orleans, that is an incredibly diverse population and an area that loves Drew Brees a ton. How do you think that reverberates in that city, hearing this from a guy whose word has been gospel down there for so long?
Well, I think you saw some of the reaction last night where people, some of them took it overboard. They were chanting F Drew Brees, all these different things. And, you know, just like in life, Junior, what you're going to have, you're going to have some on the side saying, hey, Drew, I'm totally against you. Some are going to be saying, Drew, I'm totally with you. I think just like we do all the time in America, what you're trying to get is a listening of the minds from both sides. And I don't think you can do so much good and be a bad person, because Drew has done a lot, man. He's done a lot. And so what I think it's going to take for that city, remember the connection that he made post-Katrina, and Drew talked about how he and his family have made that home. That connection somehow got kind of tethered a little bit and lost yesterday. So for him, I think he's going to have to kind of create that connection. And how do you do it? You get back in the black community. You go down there and you show the people the same way you did when Katrina was there. You stood side by side with them, and you fought the fight to get that city back going. That's how that connection happened. You know, my wife always talks about relationships are built on communication and time spent. Okay, time spent together. Well, the only way he's going to create that connection is to go out and spend time with Malcolm Jenkins in the black community, to go out and spend time with Cam Jordan in the community and understand what they're talking about it. Because until he does that, then it's just lip service. It's just lip service today. And unfortunately for him, that's all it can be today. But there's going to become a point when things are going to, quote, become, I guess, more back to normal than we have now. And you'll be able to get back into your community, and you'll be able to talk to people, and you'll be able to do what a lot of NFL players do every Tuesday on their off day, which is go out in the community. And then Drew can recreate that connection like he did post-Katrina, because he did it so eloquently then, which is how this whole thing got started. It's just a little fracture right now.
But to get to a specific thing about this, Booger, and this was about, you know, kneeling, and what Drew says is nobody should disrespect the flag. They should stand with their hand over their heart. And we do know when football starts up again, we don't know what's going to happen. We do know that we don't know what's going to happen, and we may get those kneeling protests again. It is very possible. Would you need as a teammate to find out from him where he's standing? If I kneel, are you going to support me in me kneeling in protest if I choose to do it?
Well, you know, even when Kaepernick kneeled, I don't, you know, everybody didn't kneel. What I would need to know,
support, you know, say I because he says if you're kneeling, you're disrespecting the flag. Do you think that part of it needs to be dealt with players to say of why we're doing this?
Well, I think he needs to say, I understand why you guys are doing it. I may not do it as Drew Brees, but I understand why you're doing it.
Right.
And I'm going to support you. So he can say that. I think he can say, I understand what you guys are doing. It's a peaceful protest. And in this country, the same country that your grandfathers went off and fought for, Drew, the same way you made this a personal issue for you, for us, as a black man, I'm going to protest peacefully on the platform that I have, and I'm going to do it by kneeling. And I just need for you to be okay with that. And I'm not asking you to kneel with me, but what I'm asking you to do is to be okay and understand what I'm protesting for and how I'm doing it. And I think that's the conversation that's got to take place in that locker room, okay? I don't think Malcolm Jenkins is going to ask Drew Brees to kneel. I don't think Malcolm Jenkins is going to ask Drew Brees to do what he does, but I think he's going to ask him, hey, man, okay, you want to talk about brothers for life? Well, I think you got to understand this brother and where I'm coming from. And that's the conversation that it needs to happen behind closed doors, and I think it will.
There's going to be a lot of conversations that are going to be happening. That's the thing that you wanted to happen, Mike, to get those two together. But again, the reaction has been so raw, it needs to sort of settle down here a little bit. You know, as we're talking to Booger McFarland here, one thing that people need to understand about Drew Brees is that he is a very passionate person. And he is, you know, I mean, in a way, he's stubborn. You know, like I once did some with him when the whole thing was going on with Reggie Bush, and we had him on, and he's like, well, why did you have to ask him those questions? I'm like, well, because there's an ongoing story about him and what may or may not have happened with him and his parents and payments, which would have been illegal and all this stuff at USC, and I had a responsibility to ask him those questions. And he was like, but why did you have to ask him? I mean, it was hard for him to understand where I was coming from on what I had to do at my job. And I think, Booger, that's a part of this, right? He feels so passionately about this, and he extolled that very, very poignantly and eloquently in talking about what the flag means to him, that I think sometimes it's hard for him to see how somebody else can't understand that part of it.
Yeah, I think you make a great astute point there, Trey, and I think it leads to the bigger picture. Like, you know, we've always talked about sports are just a microcosm of society. So here you have one of the most notable players in our sport, Drew Brees. And when Colin Kaepernick knelt down, he talked about what it was for. Nate Boyer came out and told him, hey, don't sit down, kneel down. And Colin said, okay, I don't want to disrespect the flag, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kneel because here's what a military guy told me, a Green Beret told me to do. And if you just listen to what he said, he told you what the message was about. Well, Drew, in his mind, because most of America, and we all are, from a selfish standpoint, said, no, for me, this is what it means for me. And he was unable to get past his own selfish thinking to look at the bigger picture of what Colin was actually kneeling for. And so what I think you have now is you have a guy in Drew Brees who I think Drew is a really good person, but it's a lot of really good people in this country right now who aren't listening, or they don't want to hear it the way it's being given to them. You know, they don't want to hear the message, or they're saying, you know what, I will hear you or I will listen to you if you give it to me a certain way. Well, this country is built on freedoms of speech and our ability to communicate in a lot of different ways. And I think we have to respect that. And hopefully through those conversations you're speaking of, Trey, and through the dialogue you're speaking of, they're able to get to a point where we can all understand both sides and understand and hear both sides, because there's always two sides. Nobody's saying it has to be one way, but there has to be an understanding and a listening from everyone, white, black, brown, everyone, about the topics at hand. Otherwise, what we're going to have and continue to have is the visceral reaction that we've had the last 24 to 48 hours when I mean, it's been hell out there, man, throughout this country, not only social media, but just throughout our country in real life daily as you watch the news and just watch what people are going through. I think you guys hit the nail on the head. It is a sensitive, heightened time around our country right now.
Yeah, the timing of this is a bigger part of it as anything else. Boog, we always appreciate you coming on with this, and I want to ask you the question we always ask everybody, because we are three white guys here that have a completely different perspective. How are you doing in light of everything that's happened?
Hey, man, doing well. You know, I'll say this is that, you know, for me, it's just about helping everyone, because I'm trying to be like the glue, man. That's what I want to do, be the glue and help stick this America that we live in together. It's a great country. It's not perfect, but it's great. But I was raised by a mother that was born in 1955, Trey. So she lived in she grew up in certain parts of our country and certain parts of our history where blacks were looked at so differently than they are now in 2020. But in my upbringing, she taught me about the history. So I respect where our country has been, and I also appreciate where it is now. And I also understand that we're going to get nowhere going forward if we don't try to come together and bridge certain gaps that certain people have. And I'm just trying to do it that way. I'm trying to be a sounding board, because I don't have all the answers. And so there's no need in me thinking like I have all the answers. And I appreciate everyone who calls and everyone who wants to know, hey, how can I help? How can I help? And I tell all my friends the same thing, white and black. When you get in certain circles, and those circles are involved, those circles have people who are blatant racist, and you listen to some of the conversations that are had, and we all have friends who are so comfortable that they say certain things thinking that no one else will know. Behind those doors, correct them, stand up for your friends, stand up for the people. More than anything, stand up for humanity, man, and stand up for what's right. And I think if we all do that, man, we will get through this time in our history, because by and large, man, America is a great place. I think all everyone wants is to be treated how the other person is treated. And if we can do that, I think, man, we will be in a far better place as the days go by. But I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you, Trey. I mean, I've been friends with you guys for a long time, and I just respect the platform that you have by coming on national radio and acknowledging and saying the things that are obvious. Hey, we are three white men, and we don't know it all, and we want to help. How can we do it? That takes a lot of courage to do, and it's appreciated by a lot of people, man.
Well, the appreciation goes back to you, Boog. So just thanks for jumping on with us this morning, and no, we appreciate your perspective, and we hear you.
Thanks, Boog.
Thanks, Booger. You know,
anytime.
And,
y'all take it easy,
and
brother.
I guess this is why the conversation goes on, because I look at two tweets here. One, a man had to apologize for saying he honored our country flag. Yeah, I'll pass. Another, the man didn't say anything wrong. He gave a personal, heartfelt opinion on what it means to him. Just because you don't see it that way doesn't make him evil or wrong. To which both those guys, Joe and Mike, you're right on what you tweeted. He, it's not about apologizing for honoring the flag. He gave a story on why he honors the flag.
Yes.
I think what we're trying to make, or what people are trying to make you see, is it's that flag. I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States or our country. Basically saying that no matter, stand and honor it, because he even says later, you stand with your hand over your heart. It shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better. Well, again, that's to Drew.
Yes.
Others look at it differently. I think that's all everybody is trying to say, including us, who at times don't know what the hell we're talking about this. We're looking at, you have to look at it from somebody else's perspective. That's what people are asking Drew to do. It was a great story. And that he looks at the flag and thinks of his two grandfathers fighting for this country, that's great. But not everybody looks at the flag that way. So both those tweets, while they're great, they're basically half tweets. They're only telling that part of it, not the part that's aggravating as hell to people.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's what they're picking up.
Right.
What we have said on more than one occasion, his story about that, I get it. My grandfather fought.
It's a great story.
In World War One, for God's sakes. My father-in-law fought in World War II. My father was in the Air Force. My nephew was in the Navy. I get that. I understand those feelings and I can appreciate them. But that doesn't mean everyone has to look at it the same way. That's the only thing we're saying. And the reason that there's been so much outcry about this is that he, as Drew in that conversation, basically said, this is the way I see it, without acknowledging that other people may see it differently. And that's the entire point. It's the entire point.
Yeah, so I think it's the reason, and we always do the qualifier that we're three white guys and all that stuff, and the thing that we've heard more and more is it's our job to talk to, because we all came in here this morning and like having to rehash the Colin Kaepernick kneeling for the anthem thing that we did 4 years ago. We kind of looked around the room and we all went, man, are we really doing this again? Like, yeah. It's kind of exhausting. Like, I truly cannot fathom, and taking in all this information that we have the last few days and just everyone looking around, it is an information overload right now. And it is all these things happening at once and people are seeing protests and rioting and all this stuff. And we look at it and you see everyone kind of wearing it. Everyone looks tired, right? Everyone looks exhausted.
Beat.
I cannot fathom how black people do this all the time.
Correct.
How people of color do this all the time. And so, like, the reason that I always kind of look at this and people ask it a bunch of different ways, but like the reason I always think it's important is like, man, at some point you gotta be a helping hand.
Yeah.
Like the tweets that you just read, there's a connection to be made there. But Lord Jesus, I can imagine that black people are tired of having to try and meet people halfway on that and explain for the millionth time that thing that goes over. So if anyone who feels, you know, worn out by the last couple of days, I truly look in disbelief and I say, I don't know how black people have done this. And so if we have the chance to try and meet someone halfway and to try and have a dialogue about it and see if we can find some middle ground, like, damn, that's the least we owe people. That is the bare minimum.
Yeah, listen, I agree, and I just keep reading tweets saying, wait, we have every right to not like the way Cap protested. Yes, you do, but the whole thing of it is, instead of just saying, I don't like the way you protested, so I don't care what you have to say, listen to what the reason is of a peaceful protest. Yeah. You can say, I don't like the venue, but man, just did you listen to why he was protesting? But I think a lot of people just... Oh, he knelt to the game. I don't care what he has to say. He disrespected the flag. I don't care what his reason is.
Even though he didn't.
I mean, to your point, Mike, I'm with you. Because we sometimes look at it and go, oh, my God, you know, why can't they see? So imagine the minorities, right, that are going through it over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's just – it's a reminder. Like, that is the job. Like, we have had like, – there's a lot less time under task here, but if people are really invested in trying to do it, like, that's the only way you can do it, is trying to churn through that and trying to meet someone there, because we all got the time right now. Like, that is one thing that is certainly changing this. We got to make the time. Like, that – I don't know. It shows up over and over again, and it gets immensely frustrating, but, like, that is a thousandth of how frustrating it is to the people who actually deal with this. And so there is some semblance and some feeling of responsibility. It's like – man, if we can just try, if every day you talk to one person for a little bit and have a little bit of an extended mix of what's going on here and someone understands something a little bit better, like that incremental progress is the least you can do. Because we've seen so many great examples in the last week of things that you could actually do to help further a lot of causes that people that have been doing this for a long time have identified and said, you know what, if we get enough behind this, this is starting to help. We see places where this can be valuable here.
Like that, who knows? I'm rambling at this point.
We all are. Look, we get it. Coming up, much more perspective on Drew from Bomani Jones. We'll hear from him after this.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school, or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Goligan Wingo here with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. You mentioned SportsCenter Update, one of the briefest ones of all time.
Yep.
That one of his teammates has spoken up, and that is his linebacker, DeMario Davis. Went on with CNN. He was on with Nate Boyer, by the way, who we had on.
Right, on CNN.
On CNN. And what DeMario Davis had to say on CNN was that Drew recognized what he said was incentive, and we all need America to be like Drew and recognize that they are missing the mark. He said we need more people like Drew to admit they got it wrong because we can't get it wrong this time. DeMario also responded to Drew Brees' apology on Instagram with five fist bumps, basically saying, I think that they're good.
Right.
So we'll see what happens going forward. Clearly, it's going to be more than that for someone like Malcolm Jenkins, who had a post on Instagram where he was very, very emotional and ended it with, Drew, you're my teammate, but I can't let this slide. Those two are going to have to come together. Mike Thomas also weighed in on that, and there's going to be some discussions that Drew's going to have, and it's going to be an ongoing process. For more on all of this, we're delighted to be joined by our teammate and colleague, Bomani Jones. Bo, we appreciate you being with us this morning. First of all, now that Drew has issued the apology, where are you in what we're sort of dealing with in the information that we've been getting from Drew? First, the statement, the reaction, and now the apology.
Yeah, like my thought was that, and I think this has to be kind of jarring for Drew Brees, because what he did was he gave what for him has been the right answer for 4 years. Like when these questions come up, this is the Drew Brees answer. Like, this is the answer that's in line with his brand. And I imagine that he was stunned when, after the fact, it turned out to be the way that it did with the way that players were reacting, because this doesn't sound terribly different from what he's been. He's been the guy that's the first out with the American flag and all of those things. And then you look up on TV and people on the street in New Orleans are saying, bleep Drew Brees. Malcolm Jenkins, his former teammate and now current teammate, is telling him to shut the bleep up. He's got to fix it with the dudes on the team. Like, my first thought when this happened was, well, he's going to have to do, like, the Today Show or something like that and fix it. But the audience that needs to hear him is really not the general public, aside from, like, whatever his future with NBC is going to be. His audience has got to be his guys on that team. And it sounds like DeMario Davis is okay with it, but I don't know about those other dudes, and I don't know if Googling handshake against racism and then putting that picture on Instagram, and that is the tag on that photo on Getty Images, just so you know, is handshake against racism. That ain't necessarily the most sincere way to go about it, no matter what the caption is.
Yeah, I don't think Drew Brees understood that we were going to be able to go on the internet and find that quite as easily as we did. Bo, I'm curious because you mentioned this is the same thing he's been saying for 4 years, and I'm sure there was a conversation at the time or at the very least some discomfort at the time. We know, especially in light of recent events, things are different and people are feeling a lot more comfortable calling BS on a lot of this stuff. Do you think there's going to be more ability held to Drew Brees going forward if this apology is going to be taken seriously at all?
I do, and the accountability that I think he's going to have to deal with is, and I could be wrong because I'm not part of that team, I'm not around that team, but it's hard for me to believe he made those statements that he did to Yahoo Finance, that in 2016 he actually had any of the conversations that people said that they had around that time, because he sounded just like somebody on a talk radio show 4 years ago. Like, it didn't sound at all like he had any moment where he said to himself, you know what, I felt like this, but then I had these conversations with people, and I understand a little bit better where they were coming from. It sounded like he never listened to anybody in the first place, and that's really kind of dispiriting to consider, because we give him so much credit for being this leader of men and everything else surrounding that team, and it sounds like when everything was going on 4 years ago, Drew Brees was not leading those men.
Well, Monty, in a more general question about the NFL, I'll go to the question that was actually asked to Drew Brees, but and broaden it a little bit, because he asked him, how do you think, as far as protests now? Now we're a few years removed from cap. We see the situation we're going through right now. In September, if there are NFL games, I'll ask you, do you think we will see NFL players protest in that manner again?
I think that the NFL is going to have to seriously consider whether they're going to do the national anthem before games in the ways that they used to, because I do think that there are absolutely going to be players who choose to use that time in order to make a statement. I think that's going to happen, because the truth is that's probably the most powerful that an NFL player can be, is in that time. That's the most visible that they're going to be in talking about this. Like, you know, it's not going to give so much discussion on the broadcast when it comes around, because the league itself is scared to death of offending people. So my guess is you are going to see people who take that route. the question for me, at least, is going to be, is the American public really going to be as offended as has been advertised they are by these actions? And my contention has always been that the average person, even though we talk about it all the time, you'll have the people call up, I still haven't seen myself any evidence that anybody was not watching football because these things happen. And so the league, I think, needs to figure out within itself, if this does happen, how can we approach this like the NBA does, where the NBA didn't have these issues because they worked with their players as opposed to trying to work against them or keep them in control?
Bomani Jones with us. And Bomani, that's a great point, because remember, the national anthem wasn't always on display for National Football League games. That was a recent thing. I think 2008, 2009, they decided to do it. For many, many years, that national anthem was not played while all the players were on the stands, and it wasn't part of the television coverage. I mean, that is something that what happened for many, many years in the NFL.
Yeah, but I want to know, like, with that, because that part is correct, but, like, we're looking at a possibility of playing these games without crowds. And so a lot of that big, giant pageantry that they do, like, this is more for, like, the Super Bowl. We have flyovers and stuff like that. But the giant pageantry right. that you have is going to look a little weird without people around. Like, having thousands of people in the crowd kind of helps sell that. So when you're doing all these things and there's no audience, it is just going to, like, kind of echo around, and then you'll have players perhaps taking a knee at the same time. I don't feel like that's the television product that the NFL wants to put forth.
That makes a lot of sense. And Bo, I want to go back to what you said about approaching this the way the NBA does, because the NBA is always a unique case study because the players have so much of the power that it seems like, of course, the league has to follow what they want in that situation. The last time we went through this and everything with Kaepernick, it did something that I didn't imagine, which is it got a bunch of players an actual seat at a table talking to owners behind closed doors in the NFL league office in a way that felt like, we are scared as hell of what's going on. Let's bring these guys in. In a similar situation now, because of everything that's gone on, do you think NFL players are kind of seeing that right now might be a time where they've got that kind of power to almost make this the thing that the league can't avoid, because they're seeing now so much of their body of players standing up and saying, we're not going to tolerate this?
I think they do, and I think very important is this, is who some of the players are that are popping up, and really specifically it's Tom Brady. Right, like when Tom Brady put his name on the Players Coalition letter about the Ahmaud Arbery shooting, I thought that was a giant, huge deal that our industry kind of missed out on the significance of it, because this is what the Players Coalition is looking for when they want to brand themselves and work with the NFL, is you hope that the more powerful and more visible figures in the NFL will lend their names and credibility to the cause, and therefore it will spread to more people. And so with a guy like Brady, who has now dipped his toe into this and seems to have some sort of involvement, what if it's Tom Brady that calls up and says, hey, look, I've been doing this work with the Coalition, been working with the McCourties and everything else. He gets on the phone with, say, Bob Kraft, and it's like, hey, you know, you've been doing this stuff with Meek Mill or whatever. We got a chance to really do something. Let's all come to the table and talk about it. The question to me is going to be whether the owners are going to be humble enough to recognize that you're not going to put these guys in line, at least not right now, right? Like, maybe by the time September comes, it calms down outside in these streets and everybody's a little bit more chilled out. But right now, you're not going to force their hand. College coaches aren't going to be able to force their players' hands at this point. And the NFL, I think, is going to have to, if they want this to go smoothly, and maybe they don't, but if they do, they're going to need to work with their players rather than telling their players what to do.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Golic & Wingo is brought to you by your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams. And boy, oh boy, as we look around the landscape of what's going on right now, Bomani Jones tweeted this earlier, and I couldn't agree more. 2020 has been angrier and more chaotic than the newly released Run the Jewels album, which is a difficult thing to do if you have ever listened to Run the Jewels. And keeping in that same energy of absolute insanity, Mike Norvell might be trying to do some backflips today. You can do backflips at home as part of your Golic & Wingo's Home Olympic Trials. Send us your videos at Golic & Wingo of your best gymnastics routine. Home Olympic Trials brought to you by California Almonds with 6 grams of natural protein. Fuel your whatever day, every day with California Almonds. For anyone that hasn't seen this, Mike Norvell, the new head coach at Florida State, did an article with The Athletic and gave a quote talking about his response to everything that had been going on in the world right now. And part of that quote said, "We have had open communication with our team, our players, and our coaches. I went back and forth individually with every player this weekend. And that was something that was important to me because this is a heartbreaking time in our community." Went on in a longer post in much, much more depth in that post. Well, Marvin Wilson, who might be the best player on Florida State's team.
And number 9 on Mel Kiper's big board going into the draft.
Top interior D lineman in the draft.
Quote tweeted that and said, "Man, this poop emoji didn't happen, man. We got a generated text that was sent to everybody. There was no one talked to us. There was no one-on-one talk between us and coach. This is a lie, and me and my teammates as a whole are outraged, and we will not be working out until further notice." Bomani, what the hell is going on in Tallahassee?
Well, keep in mind, they got a team meeting, I think, now, right? I think that they were set to have a team meeting at 9 o'clock this morning. So I think that we are going to get some indication of how it went. And what happened was Norvell got out here and did an interview and was like, "Okay, this is how I make myself look good right now," right? I think he was talking to Deshaun Reed of The Athletic. He's like, "Yeah, okay, I'm talking to him. I'm going to let him know, you know, I'm having my back and forth with my guys. We're out here figuring it out. We're out here working it out." And apparently they got a mass text. And if you replied to it, he was down to talk to you, but they all got a mass text. And he just thought he was getting PR. And it is entirely possible that he has lost his entire locker room of players. Because Marvin Wilson is a guy that, as I understand it, actually liked Norvell a lot. And the big reason why he came back to Florida State this year was because he was so sold on Norvell after having met him. And he might have just set fire to that whole thing after, keep in mind, he's the dude that told him no hoodies and no chains and all that stuff.
I mean, it's just amazing now when of the thought process, Bomani, of doing something and not thinking somehow, some way it's going to get out. And also, I think, I do believe as well, we're in a time, we keep talking about pro athletes with more power, but I think college athletes are realizing that as well when they can band together for something or against something like this.
Well, they kind of have more power because they have less power, kind of ironically. And I say that because a grown man might put up with some of this stuff because he's getting paid $7 million for it. These dudes aren't getting paid, right? So you're gonna lie to my face and I'm not getting the money for it? That one gets to be, like, extra tricky. And I think that, like, particularly in football, and, you know, you two Golics as former football players could probably attest to this, when the guys feel like you're lying to them, it becomes very difficult for you as the guy up front to do your job if it gets to a place where they absolutely feel like they cannot believe you. And that seems to be the place that Norvell may be getting himself into with his team of guys who largely, by the way, no matter what you thought about Willie Taggart as a coach, his players seem to think very highly of him as a man. And when you slip off of that, you're going to get yourself into trouble.
Bomani Jones with us. So, Bomani, if in fact what we're hearing is true, that Mike Norvell said one thing and the players are saying that's not actually what happened, is it salvageable? Because we're talking about a guy who hasn't had a practice yet, right?
Yeah, it's as salvageable as they decide that it is, right? Like with Drew Brees, like how salvageable it is with Drew Brees is, in part, Drew Brees looked bad the last time I saw him play. Drew Brees comes out here looking old, he got a big old problem when he gets out here. And I think that for Norvell, it is as salvageable as the players determine that it is. So, like, can you win back the most important players on that team? Keeping in mind, it's a roster full of dudes he did not recruit. If he cannot win them back, I think he's ultimately going to have to resign because he cannot functionally do his job. Like, it's not about whether I'm offended by what he did. It's about whether functionally he is a man who can do his job. And I think that's in question.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, everything Florida State has been through the last couple of years. Wow. I mean, we'll see what happens. Bomani, as always, thank you for being with us. We appreciate your time and your perspective. Thank you.
All right, man. You guys have a good one.
Wow. I mean, I don't even know where to go with that.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of chaos around this. There's some people saying that not every player feels this way.
Right, right.
As Bomani mentioned, apparently the mass text that was sent out included the caveat that if you wanted to text and follow up, he was willing to talk with you. But it keeps hearkening back to, and A, this goes back to like the central tenet of any coaching change, which is you've got to get to the leaders first. You've got to get to the best players on your team first and establish that rapport, because the rest of the locker room tends to usually take their cues off of the top guys in that locker room. But it is also what we've seen more and more of, a demand for real transparency. And if you are not going to, if you're going to lie about that, I'm sure a lot of people, and maybe something that flashed through here was, what else are you willing to not tell me the truth about? If something that, like, something we're dealing with like that, what else would you be willing to not tell me the truth about? We'll wait and see how that team meeting shakes out.
Yeah, as he said, they're supposed to have a team meeting at 9, so they could still be in that team meeting, and we'll find out what happened in it. You're right. The transparency, especially nowadays, you know, the players will call you on it. And he is right when you brought up the fact, Mike, that you and I in a locker room and what a coach says and what they mean. I mean, are they direct with you? There are times when sometimes you don't want to hear what a coach has to say, because it may talk about what you're not doing well. But you know what? At least you know where you stand, and you hate to think a coach is saying one thing publicly for a reaction, but doing another thing, you know, with the team. And that's just something that players, especially players of today, are saying, no, you know, we don't have to deal with that.
It was interesting you brought up too about the fact that, yeah, we don't have a salary to lose right now.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a bunch of money that have at stake, and especially for Marvin. He's a guy who has a lot of that on the other side of all this waiting
sure
for him whenever he goes pro.
What a week.
What a week that with all of this, the news Yahoo Finance made today and all those things, I didn't get to read the one thing I wanted, which is an actual article on Yahoo Finance.
Please do. It was unbelievable.
With the tagline, Spanish porn star Nacho Vidal, who likes to advertise his aromatic candles shaped like male genitalia on Twitter, has been arrested on manslaughter charges following a man's death during a mystic ritual in which he inhaled psychedelic toad venom. That was a byline like murder hornets in 2020.
Who amongst us hasn't been there?
Well, I mean, I've seen many, many, many stories like that. Wow.
Nacho Vidal, by the way. We'd start right there.
I mean, it's all of it. It's all like an insane Mad Lib that's only possible in this hellscape of a year.
December 31st yet?
There's a reason 2020 is a leap year, because we'd like to leap right past it. Yeah. Stay with us. We'll be with you tomorrow. Go Looking Window Friday.